Welcome to Our House, the only complete on-air resource for your home ownership needs. Now, here's the host of Our House, Peter Hunt.
Good morning and welcome to Our House. This is Peter Hunt and this show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com. It's going to be all new again within about 5-6 weeks, where everything is easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. HuntRealEstate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA here in Buffalo, Niagara, all across upstate and way out to Phoenix, Arizona. The show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. Call them today, 633-3700, and ask one of our skilled mortgage consultants to work with you to find the lowest rate and closing costs for your particular home financing needs and wants. And that is guaranteed, by the way. And ask about our many exclusive programs, including our pre-purchase commitment that allows you at no cost or risk, to effectively enter the market for your next home with cash because you have a mortgage commitment in hand, not just a qualification like any lender will do. This is actual mortgage commitment, and it's no risk, no cost, and the only thing you need is the house. So call 633-3700 for a personalized, for you, customized, also for you, knock your socks off service, and check out that low rate guarantee. Certain restrictions do apply, but check, all the details are on our website, huntmortgage.com. And don't forget about the first ever 24/7, 365 real estate hotline, the Hunt Hotline, which gives you access to all available information about any property listed for sale all across upstate, even out to Phoenix, Arizona. Simply dial 716-631-4800. Enter the street number of the house you want to know about, no matter whose listing it is, and the hotline will prompt you with a choice of street names. Doesn't matter. It doesn't have to be our listing. Select the one you want. You'll hear a brief description, and then you'll be texted a link to a dedicated website on that property automatically and just that fast anytime in any market we serve on any listing, whether it's ours or any other broker's. And that's, you drive by and you see a sign that's got 14 phone numbers on it, pictures and directions and all kinds of stuff, and you have to stop, take a picture of it, and go back to your house and look it up and go online. Not necessary. 631-4800, any listing, and you'll get all the information texted to you immediately. This is a very important time in the market. We're kind of turning a corner on the timing of the marketplace. Beginning about now, the market starts to, although it's not warm outside, the market itself starts to heat up. There is a chronic shortage of inventory throughout the country today. Excuse me. And I would encourage you to, pardon me, if you're looking for a home, to enter the market now, because it's a perfect time to get ready for when that one house does become available. So call one of our Hunt Real Estate ERA agents today and ask about our seller security plan when you speak with them, because if you have a home to sell, you want to know that your house is sold so that you can effectively enter the market and buy a house without a contingency. And that's the seller security plan, available only through Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. And it's very simply the fact that we will sell your home or ERA will buy it, 633-9400 for details. Hunt is the official real estate and relocation provider of our hometown professional teams, the Buffalo Bills, the Buffalo Sabres, and the Rochester Americans. We encourage you to support them right now. The Sabres need some support. They got to come around. Anyway, we are live on WBEN 930 AM, and if you'd like to reach us here in the studio today, the phone number is 803-0930 or 1-800-616-9236 or star 930. Those are all free calls, and we even have a text number here, which I'll have Jerry tell me again. 30930, text us if you want to be a little more anonymous with your question. And I think you'll want to ask a question today, because in the studio with me today is one of Western New York's most important citizens. This is a very special show. And my guest today is Tom Kacharski. Mr. Kacharski is the president and CEO of Invest Buffalo Niagara. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm good. I understand you're feeling better.
Yeah, finally. Yeah. Don't get the flu that's going around. It's not good.
Well, we're glad you're up and around. We need to hear from you today because there's a lot of good stuff going on in your world, our world, and you just recently had your annual meeting.
Yes, we did.
What was the topic? What was the core of the meeting?
Well, it was really to discuss not only what we accomplished this past year as an annual meeting for any corporation is, but it was really to reflect on, as you have been talking about this morning, where are we at in our, some would say, our renaissance and the trajectory, life cycle of our community, and what do we anticipate our opportunities and our challenges are going to be in the year ahead and several years ahead. And so that's kind of what we talked about. You know, we've now got a little bit of momentum under our belt, and we see tangible changes in the community. It's mm-hmm. But all you have to do is turn on any media, and you understand the challenges are all around us, locally, statewide, nationally, and internationally, and they now all affect us as we've become much more of a well-rounded community that's globally engaged, and a lot of our newer industries, newer companies are in the global arena. And so put this all in a big bowl and figure out where we are as far as our demographics and our basic core industries and what our assets are that we could build on and what new industries require as far as natural resources, people, infrastructure. And it's gratefully, it's a more complicated conversation than it's been in the past, which was just let's get off the bottom and let's get back to life. We're now a viable concern going forward, but how do we direct our energies so that we continue to grow and prosper was really what we talked about.
So how do we direct our energies?
Well, I think, you know, we've made some good strategic investments with the governor, our local stakeholders, all the private sector concerns that have come to the table time and time again to fund all the initiatives that not only stabilized our economic base, but have grown the life science sector, the IT sector, advanced manufacturing. And all of this growth has come with some consequences. We're estimating a huge cliff as far as retirement from those that are engaged in advanced manufacturing. And we're at the time where we've just opened up Northland and are trying to get kids interested in making a lot of money in manufacturing and, mm-hmm. and overcoming the dogma of maybe you have to go to college. Sustaining that so that we can bridge to the other side and really attract some of the advanced manufacturing and nano and silicon and some of the areas that we have a really good chance of getting into. And then the other which is of concern to you and all the folks that are in real estate and not only commercial and industrial, but actually places where people can live and residential, mm-hmm. Where are we going to get all the people from? We have a number of announcements mm-hmm. that haven't even started hiring yet in earnest, and we're already at a very low unemployment rate. Mm-hmm. And so taken together with a lot of retirements and those kids that we'd like to keep here and a whole slew of ex-Buffalonians who are elsewhere around the world that maybe are not aware of what's going on in their community may come back at the holidays and just, you know, have dinner and hang out with their friends and go back to wherever they came from. We need to make them aware of it because we're not going to right size our way to prosperity. So
how do you communicate to those expats that are out there all over the world? I mean, you hear whenever I travel, there's always a Buffalo bar someplace, yeah. and there's always a Buffalo event, and I get emails for them from various cities. And but how do you get to these people and say, you know, don't just party in D.C. or Miami. Yeah. Come back home. Check it out.
Well, I think we have a strategy. We hired a consultant, and we're going to start rolling. You'll see some things out of our organization and probably the state in a greater state. This is not a Buffalo problem. It's a Rochester problem, Syracuse problem, North Country, mm-hmm. Certainly even downstate where the unemployment rate is even lower. So there'll be a direction at this at Earnest, I mean, you want to get specific opportunities in front of people who left here with the promise of something greater. Maybe they left because what they went to school for was not really available here as a growing, thriving industry, and now it mm-hmm. is, and mm-hmm. They're just not aware of it. Plus, they may be sitting in a place like I had in my past where you're an hour and 45 minutes in each commute, and you got kids, and you're not getting to any of their games, and you're not really enjoying a good quality of life, and tug on their heartstrings a little bit. You know, people are living longer, and so there's family associations that are folks that are still back here. And instead of begrudgingly, gee, we got to look at moving back home to Buffalo, it's like, wow, you know, I can actually move back and afford a much greater quality of life than we have here and be on the bottom floor of something that's going to sustain itself and be a really great thing in the future. Then that's how we're going to kind of position ourselves, along with what we really haven't done well in this community is embracing immigrants and and minority business and that kind of thing, really changing that whole story around.
You know, if you look at the various segments of our community, you've isolated the immigrant community, which we have a pretty healthy one.
Yeah.
And we also have – and they want to be here. They see an opportunity here, particularly from a housing standpoint, to actually get a house and live a decent life. And now with job opportunities, it makes it much more viable. We had the superintendent of the Buffalo Schools on last week to learn about all the things that we're doing inside the school system, which is pretty amazing. We've studied Say Yes often on this show. We had the mayor on a few weeks ago, and he was talking about the various initiatives that the city is involved with. But we have a couple kind of underlying problems. It, just like you're saying, attracting young people back to be near their parents in their, as they live longer, thankfully, sometimes, particularly among the more affluent members of our community, they go the other way. They go where their kids are. They sell the house here, which is probably a very nice house, and then they go someplace else. They invest their money, in another community. And that relates to something that Charlie Munger said on television yesterday morning on Squawk Box CNBC. And he said that he just called it stupid the way certain states basically chase the wealthy people out of their state. We're notorious for that here in New York State. New Jersey's pretty good at it. Connecticut's really good at it. California's really good at it. And as a result, he said some very interesting things. He said, "Why would you want to chase these people out of your state or city? They don't use the school system. They invest in philanthropy almost all the time. They invest in businesses. They're attractive to other people, and they're really the least taxing element of your community and the greatest giver in your community, yet we chase them out through this pursuit of their money by trying to tax them out of the state. And what happens is that states like Florida just open their doors and in they flow and they have a positive fund balance and they think everything's rosy. And we make that for them. You must deal with this regularly."
Yeah, and it's, we're an apolitical organization. It's all about jobs and investment, but we are, obviously, this does affect what we do. So we try and make the best of the situation. Sometimes we do catch the boomerang coming around the other way. But, it's obviously a concern, and it's a philosophy. And, you know, the whole notion of economic I don't know what the proper term is, how we restructure our economy so that everybody has what they need is kind of counter to a capitalist system and has been proven to be not great anywhere it's been tried. And yet we there's some parts of the country, you mentioned many of them, that are embracing this, and it makes it very difficult for not only from a messaging perception standpoint, but actually for how you attract new investment and keep it here. And we just make the best of the situation.
So. Well, we have to. We have no choice. And you spoke about momentum earlier, and as much as anything, it's a feeling. People like to be here for all the reasons you mentioned, the quality of life, and it is a real joy not to battle traffic for an hour and a half every single day. I mean, I don't know how that enhances anybody's quality of life, even if you're on a train.
Yeah.
You know, you're stuck wherever you
I did it for years, and I'll never do it again. So.
And that we have an incredible luxury here. As you know, our highway system was built for twice as many people as we have.
Yeah.
So living here, which is really remarkable. But having said that, it's still it's a lot to maintain, and that takes money, and so you have this kind of issue continuously where the government has to do more, and they do it with fewer resources. So a city like Buffalo depends on Albany and the state, and just like you said, the governor's been helpful by creating pools of funds as incentives, and as well as directly investing in infrastructure here, for example, the Solar City situation. But the fact of life is that's not sustainable. Sooner or later, the private sector has to take over in all industries. Otherwise, they're just not viable. And so this is something I'm sure that you have to deal with all the time. But back to a couple of things that you said that are kind of critical here. And we've talked about this often on the show, and this fact that we've got this cliff that you mentioned about people just retiring, aging out of their jobs, and that we don't have enough people coming in behind that wave going out, and the workforce development projects, that are underway around town, which are very valuable, but it doesn't seem like we've got enough people even in those systems.
Right. Yeah, no, that's and you see it with a lot of the searches that, and we've talked through the years about how companies go about finding locations for their investment, and I mean, you're just seeing it even with, of course, what's a sore subject this week is Amazon. How they got to their final five was the five biggest metro areas in the country, and so. You know, companies are interested in whether it's your philosophy personally or not. It's they want to maximize profit and minimize risk. And so if you're perceived to be a state or in reality a state that's losing population and you're from that part of the state that has notoriously lost population and you're trying to convince companies that they will have a good workforce going forward, you really got to work hard.
That's right.
And so that's why we're really targeting our resources. We know through doing a lot of economic research that we know what skill categories we're short of right now, chronically. And so the strategy I just mentioned, we're going to try and bridge the gap until some of these workforce efforts really take hold and bring some folks back. But long term, there's got to be a larger strategy that says, here's what we're going to be when we grow up. And here's the types of things we're going to need if we're going to And they're obviously the places where businesses will go and feel comfortable, whether it's campuses or urban areas and have appropriate infrastructure. A lot of the technologies we're dealing with now are huge power users, and our grid is not well matched up with where the opportunities are for them to go. And then we have to have the right people and be able to demonstrate a pipeline of that going forward.
Where is the dialogue taking place around that strategy development?
Well, we have, we've I think done of all the parts of the state, we've done the best at the regional council level, where a lot of really good discussion has happened. I think we just talked about it last week's meeting. We need to re-energize that effort because we worked really hard and accomplished a great deal. Brought in consultants, got the state and local partners on the same page. But now everybody's kind of looking around going, okay, what's our next big push? And so we'll be working on it there. The partnership convenes some folks, and the governments are always listening, but they're kind of wigged and wagged by constituencies. And so it's going to take a redoubling down of what we did 5-10 years ago to get to where we are now. And it's going to have to be done in a different way because now we've got a whole group. I mean, our board. You look at the Invest Buffalo Niagara board, and we have to keep going around every board meeting and introducing ourselves because we've got so many new companies, which is great. Well,
that's a good thing.
And to see them sitting together, but obviously from a strategy standpoint, we're going to have to bring them all together again.
We have a couple callers online. Our first one is Ed from Buffalo. Ed, how can we help you?
Gentlemen, thanks for taking my phone call. Sure. Both you men are very wise businessmen, but I have a basic question. I'm trying to learn something here. You mentioned Florida. How in the world can Florida and other states, I guess along the East Coast, have no state income taxes? They got a highway system. They got schools, maybe not as large. The highway system isn't as large. But The one thing that I think is missing in this discussion is, how in the world can you create an advertisement policy based on facts? How do they? In other words, Florida does other things to raise necessary funds to fix their highways and so forth. Compared, I'm sure Florida's got other ways that will irritate you.
You've asked a bunch of questions. let's start with how Florida can charge no state tax. How would you respond to that, Tom?
Well, so having done my work in Florida, I can respond very succinctly. We've made some tries at this here in Western New York. Florida has they plan everything: stormwater, roads, any type of infrastructure on a regional basis. So it's 8, 10 counties in some cases. They fit within the whole state plan. So instead of having a lot of municipalities plan for every use, every infrastructure, and do it sometimes...
Duplication of services.
Absolutely, yeah. And sometimes it doesn't even match. And so that's one way. If you've lived in Florida, you get nickeled and dimed to death with user fees, impact fees. In other words, the folks that came in there really like it the way they are, and they want everybody else that's going to change it to come in and pay for that. And so that adds up in a hurry. And, you know, the services that you get in Florida, having lived there when my son was growing up, there's no way I would have, in good mind, sent him to the local school, which had 70 kids in the class in a trailer. So, you know, I mean, there's all sorts of things that comparatively speaking, that we can use to kind of tell a story.
And I think that's an important thing. There has to be a kind of apples-to-apples comparison. It's not just one dimension, as in taxation. And we'll be right back with more from our House Steers after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day. But one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to our house. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new huntrealestate.com and continuously new and renovating huntrealestate.com, where everything is truly easier for your real estate and home ownership experience. Go there today. We have not one but three algorithms that you can tap into to find out what your home is worth, and that's free. And you can just have a little fun with it, find out. I mean, if you go to a website like Zillow, you're going to get one algorithm. Zillow's algorithm's on our website, too, if you want to check it out. And you can do a side-by-side comparison with, and we think the other algorithms are even more precise and have better science behind them. But if you're just experimenting, or it doesn't have to be your house, you can check out any house through that system. So if you're driving around, you say, well, I wonder how much a house like that is. Just write the address down. Go back home, log in, and there it'll be, all for you. You'll also find a complete inventory of homes available throughout Western New York and also throughout Upstate, and you'll find access to a complete set of homeownership services as well at huntrealestate.com. You can join our homeowners club, too, and that gives you access to all kinds of services. So it's all free of charge. Go there today. huntrealestate.com is powered by Hunt Real Estate ERA, and this show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. So for more information about our many exclusive programs, including the one that allows you to roll the cost of home improvements into your mortgage, which effectively allows you to buy the before but live the after, call 633-3700 and ask for details. And think about this. You know, often we see our customers buy a house and they say, well, I want to do this to the house, I want to do that to the house, it needs this, it needs that. But they have no idea in that brief period of time when they're looking at the house and deciding to buy it exactly what that's going to cost. Well, the Buy the Before and Live the After program allows you to go ahead and buy the house, then find out in detail what it's going to cost you, and then roll those costs into the mortgage. And the nice thing about this is that system will not allow you to overinvest. In other words, the house still has to appraise for its finished version. And our lenders will not allow you to overpay, which is a good thing. So you're pretty well insulated, only available through Hunt Mortgage, 633-3700. Ask about that pre-purchase commitment too, available only through us. So call today. And if you'd just like to ask anything about real estate more generally, call the Hunt Customer Service Center, 633-9400, and one of our customer service reps will either answer your question there on the phone right there or direct you to the appropriate professional for whatever it is you may need, whether you're considering buying or selling, financing a home, insuring a home, or even fixing up the one you have. Remember, our guarantee stands. We will sell your home, or ERA will buy it. That's the seller security plan available only through a Hunt Real Estate ERA agent. Ask one of our agents this weekend. We call them professionals at one of our many open houses. I'm in the studio today with Tom Kacharski. Mr. Kacharski is the president and CEO of Invest Buffalo Niagara, and we've been, talking a little bit about the negative here, Tom, and about what's, you know, the difficulty and really in your job, which is to not just attract people from the outside, but get them to continue to invest here. One of the things that was announced by the mayor yesterday was the fact that M&T is going to be hiring 1,000 people in their IT department.
Yeah.
And I happen to have gotten to know the head of that department now, a young man. And it's remarkable what they're doing. And if you look at the banking industry, what's going on in terms of investment in technology and what Jamie Dimon announced this week, that they're going to have their own version of cryptocurrency at J.P. Morgan. I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah.
So, and the reason why is not, he doesn't believe in necessarily the kind of the free-for-all in Bitcoin, but he does believe in the security in the blockchain process. And I'm sure there's something that's involved in the hiring at M&T along those lines too, because everyone's very concerned about security today.
Yeah, that is an emerging field, and one that was actually in some of the studies we've done and it's being borne out that we have the right situation to be able to attract that type of industry here. So not only within companies looking for their ever-increasing need for security, but actually to have third parties operate those types of facilities because of our the kids that are going to school here, our infrastructure. I'm not surprised at all. I do think, though, it's interesting in this day and age with social media how when we land a big company, it gets a front page and everybody's toasting them. When you're bringing up a good point, a lot of the companies that have, Key is a great example too. Their center of energy has actually been increasing in Buffalo since that merger. There's a lot of these stories that are going on that increasing employment, increasing wealth, and they don't get the front page. And so when at family parties or whatever, when I'm telling even my close relatives about this, they're like, huh, I didn't see anything about that. And it's,
if somebody has a problem.
Oh, yeah.
Like a business problem. Oh, that's all over the front page.
Right. Well, that's true. And, we have done, I think, a pretty good job of at one time, you don't have to go far back to remember companies leaving in droves. And now when we have one, it's usually a business decision. And in the case of the ones we've seen lately, we have folks lining up to see the facility even before we even have the specs on it. So there's a lot of good stuff. We spent the first half hour talking about challenges. There's a lot of good things that are going on. And we're kind of finding our way through the challenges we just got done talking about, but there are opportunities there, and that's where the strategy and where we use our resources, that'll be important in the future because most companies don't have to be where they are. If they have a heavy investment in manufacturing equipment and that kind of thing and maybe have a very skilled specific workforce, they don't really have to be anywhere. And so the whole argument of, why would you incent a company, it's because they're doing well, and why would we get – well, because they can be anywhere. And if you want to have them as a corporate citizen and all of the benefit they bring being in your community, the jobs and everything else, that's what you have to do.
And a lot of that, what you're referring to, I think finally – not finally, but after a long kind of waiting period in our lives certainly – we're seeing the interaction of the university system, not just the state university, but the entire university system and private industry for some really creative and positive outcomes. More and more, I hear stories about businesses turning to the university and saying, I've got this problem.
Yeah.
And that really wasn't the case for a long time here. And how do you help create that dialogue? Like somebody comes to you and say, I got a problem here. I'm thinking about reinvesting here, but I might do it in Florida as well.
This is not any different than most businesses. This is all about relationships. And so the economic development community has become much more involved and knowledgeable about what's going on at the university. The university, through deans and different centers of excellence and administrative staff, have made a focus and put resources into economic development. And so it's taken years to become kind of an overnight success here. But it is great when we have a company in town and we get short notice and they're here for a day and we convince them to stay for dinner, and we can get a couple of the deans from the university to join us for dinner and mm-hmm. talk about exactly what's going on. To sit and meet with some of the folks working on the genomics project or the big project, that kind of thing, and talk about, strategize how we target companies together that can be partners in the initiative. And that stuff never happened before, and it's happening now. And I give Dr. Tripathi and really everybody in leadership there a lot of credit for seeing this opportunity and making it happen, because it is they're concerned with creating and maintaining a great university. And so this is a little bit step outside of that, but it supports the infrastructure around the university, which helps make it great.
We have an all-cap text here, which means this guy's angry. It says, not a good answer. This is your answer about Florida. New York State nickels and dimes us and imposes a state income tax and sales taxes, !3. New York has a spending problem, also !! I think that texter has a point.
Oh, no, absolutely. I would agree with that. I have to be careful. I don't really express political opinions, but I wouldn't disagree with that statement. Mm-hmm. So,
But the bottom line is that I think we have to take a look at where the good places where the state invests, like the university.
Right.
I mean, that provides an education. I know how much it costs to provide a college education, and the cost is probably 1/7 or 1/8 of its real cost. The state picks up the rest of that, mm-hmm. and it produces graduates, and those graduates like it here. And I hear this all the time, and they want to stay here. So if we can match that up, that's a good thing in terms of effectively the state subsidizing our employment base for the future.
Yeah, and I think we also have to realize, I think we were talking about this earlier, this we have to make the best of the situation that we have. The situation we have was created over decades and decades and decades.
Yeah, we're not going to turn around tomorrow.
It's not going to change tomorrow. And so, you try and take the positives and extol them, and you try and mitigate the negatives, and that's what we do every day.
We're taking one more caller. This is Gary from Boston. Gary, how can we help you?
Yeah, good morning. Can we get the leaders of Western New York together and maybe make a last-ditch effort to get Amazon to go to Niagara Falls? We have a large Air Force base over there. They're going to need an airport for transporting all their goods. Mm-hmm. We're close to Canada, and, that's one thing. And then one more quick one, any low-hanging fruit that we can do to reduce property taxes, like the share that we pay for Medicaid in Erie County, eliminate that?
There you go.
With the other states.
You are hitting I'm sure that's about 4 hours more.
Yeah, right.
But Tom is the local expert on the attraction of something like Amazon, and I know you guys put together a heck of a program. What happened?
So Gary, you're among many folks in the community, in our community, and all communities across the country that have the perfect site for Amazon, but we got to remember this is a client-driven process, and so the site you're referring to was actually in the compendium that we first put by the consultant working with us and Amazon themselves, and they eliminated that site. So they had a very specific criteria. You see where they went. They went to Crystal City in D.C., which is a very dense but has available property and very walkable, commuter-friendly opportunity to put 25,000 employees. And that was the same thing in Jersey City and in New York. And the other sites that made the final list were very similar to that. we're not that community. And most of the folks who did not make, which is why we went in with Rochester, and even at that, we weren't that community. So I think it's curious. We've seen the last couple of days everybody making a last-ditch effort. Well, we're talking to Amazon directly from our experience. So we know what they're doing, and they're not going to reopen the search. That was a unique way of doing it. And they're going to stick to what they said they were going to do, which is fit out D.C. and probably increase their presence in Nashville and some of their other regional sites and call it a day. As far as the second question you asked, I'm not an expert on that. I don't know, Peter, if you want to take a shot at that.
I think it's a legitimate question. Well, we've asked the politicians that are deeply involved in that whole Medicaid issue, and the business community has been fighting that fight for a long time, as you know, going back to probably 10 or 12 years ago when we got the business group from Rochester together with two business groups from Buffalo, and we kind of decided that our one focus would be to try to get the state to take another look at Medicaid, because we take advantage of too many of those programs that are inside the Medicaid option list. And as a result, our costs are staggering. And that's pushed back to the local community to a large extent. So we'll talk more about that after the break. We'll be right back with more from Harold Steers after these important messages.
This is Linda Malaya, president of Hunt Mortgage. The market continues to change from day to day. But one thing that hasn't changed since 1911 is our commitment to serve the needs of Western New York homebuyers. At Hunt Mortgage, we will always work to find our clients the best rate and home financing options available. Rates are rising, and now may be the very best time to buy or refinance your home before these low rates disappear.
Hunt Mortgage is a licensed mortgage banker, New York Department of Financial Services, and an equal opportunity lender.
Welcome back to Our House. This is Peter Hunt, and the show is brought to you by the all-new HuntRealEstate.com, where everything's truly easier for your real estate and homeownership experience. And the show is also brought to you by Hunt Mortgage. And you've heard during the breaks from Linda Malaya, the president of Hunt Mortgage, and she does a fabulous job there of bringing the very best mortgage products and services to our community. But before we go back to our show, I just want to remind our listeners that, as I mentioned last week, the 20th Decorator Show House is set to begin. Tickets for that show at the Palmer Centennial House are now on sale. That house is located at 288 Lincoln Parkway. It's a unique home will be open to the public from April 27th to May 19th, presented by the Junior League of Buffalo and the Buffalo News. All proceeds will benefit a significant community project. And over the years, there's been 20 houses over the last 40 years. And they have donated millions of dollars to local organizations, and it all stays right here in our community. So purchase your tickets and learn more at jlbuffalo.org, or call 884-8865. So there's lots of good things going on in our community, Tom. And before the break, we were about to go down another little rabbit hole, and I don't want to go there with real property taxes, because we've been investigating this for years and years and years, and throughout a couple different campaigns, we've had the candidates on the show talking about the cost of how many dollars your taxes have to go up per month for you to lose $1,000 in equity, effectively, because it's all based on affordability. And it has been an artificial suppressant to property values. But the bigger thing in property values, and this is something I try to remind our listeners, is taxes are important, but the more important thing is demand. If there's more demand, prices will go up. And we're seeing that now because we have a shortage of inventory. And so our prices have gone up in almost all price ranges, including our upper price ranges, which is kind of bucking the national trend. The upper price ranges around the country are getting hammered, while the kind of the bread and butter price ranges are ridiculously strong and increasing. Right. So it's kind of a tale of two or three different markets. But we're in pretty good shape. I mean, it's still affordable here.
Yeah, and I think you and I have talked in the past about as we're dealing with new companies, their young employees that are moving somewhere can't find a house. And at what point in this continuum do we, and we know the challenges of trying to create new residential development here locally, but That's going to be, that could be a constraint to us really achieving what we'd like to in the long run.
Sure. And we've got a growing group of young, aggressive urban developers that are taking oddball sites and turning them into good stuff.
Yeah,
we're involved in a couple of those projects, and it's exciting to see. But unless you get into the real higher price ranges, the activity is you know, it's automatic, which is kind of exciting.
It is exciting. And it's dichotic that some of the programs that help pencil those numbers out on some of these projects are always seemingly under attack every year to be taken away, as far as historical tax credits and adaptive reuse and those types of things. So it's never boring.
No, it's not boring. And I think I want to see that momentum among the developer community continue, and I don't want them to feel thwarted. But the one thing that's universal among them is their deep interest in seeing this part of our world get better.
Yeah.
I mean, look what's happening in South Buffalo, for example. Mm-hmm. Who would have thought that would have happened 5 years ago? And it's quite interesting to see. We got a couple questions, Tom, that are on the from our texters. One is, what is the impact, both positive and negative, of immigration on our community? How do you see that from your perspective?
So, our community is a microcosm of what the conversation is going on nationally. If you have a birth rate that, if you look at statistics, you need a birth rate of about 2.5 for every two of population to maintain a society. And we're at about 1.9 nationally. Parts of Europe are about 1.6. And so, you know, you can talk about isolationism, or you can talk about growing your own and upscaling your own and all that good stuff. The bottom line is, we aren't producing enough people to be in the workforce. And on the other end of it, we have, as we mentioned earlier, a cliff coming as far as people who are going to retire. And so if you are going to maintain the balance of public and private sector and have enough money to maintain a good quality of life and maintain your community, something's got to give. And so, as you mentioned, and has been our experience, the immigrant population here in Buffalo, once they come here, they're very strongly indoctrinated and feel great about our community. Is there a bad element to immigration? Well, yeah, there's a bad element to any type of situation if it's not properly monitored and enforced and that kind of thing. And so the whole discussion about a cogent immigration policy is one that's badly needed, I think. But D's and R's agree to that. But in the meantime, time goes on. And in order to keep momentum and to keep our community a pace with where we'd like to go, this is a discussion that the positives, I think, clearly outweigh the negatives for me and where I sit and function in the community. So,
in a place like Buffalo, where we've got the prospect of as many job openings as we do,
yeah,
it seems to me that no one should be fearful of a legal immigrant taking a job, because it's anything, it just enhances our community all the way around. You know, as I have informal conversations with people that come here from other parts of the world, there's a few things that keep coming up. One is, in spite of what we read in the press, compared to any other country in the world, our political stability is truly remarkable. There's very few countries anywhere in the world that can say that they've been functioning under the same constitution for over 200 years. Very few countries in the world, anywhere. And we also have one other thing which they truly admire. We are only one of two societies in history, multiracial societies, that existed for any period of time.
Yeah.
And even though we've got our issues and, you know, we've got our identities that seem to get all crisscrossed across this population, it's remarkable that we've held together as long and as productively as can. That's one thing. Secondly is, we are a free society.
Yeah.
And even though there's all talks about how that's constrained, I'm sure that plays into your world too. Our educational system, we've talked about that, bar none, is the best in the world, even though it's spotty. Mm-hmm. You know, if you put all the urban public education systems together, they probably don't look so good. But if you combine them with the whole rest of the system, it starts to look a lot better. But one of the things that comes up regularly is the feeling that people have about our entrepreneurial capitalism. that they've got a chance, you know. And this is something that I think we as Americans, the born and bred here, we don't see it as somebody else from the outside sees. So the issue of immigration is something that I think we should totally embrace, from a legal standpoint, of course. But
right, and you know, you brought up good points. We hear the same things, and that's why 43 North, when they get 7,000 applicants for people who will move here for a year to receive a prize, those are from 67, 69 countries around. If things are so bad as the way we describe them here, why is everybody trying to get here? And you know, another evolution of our effort now after 20 years is probably half of the active deals we've got going on are internationally based. And so, sometimes the facts don't support the biased narrative that's out there. And you know, I'm waiting for the pendulum to swing back. I mean, we're very divided, and we're very antagonistic with expressing our views. And yet we're the folks we deal with from outside the United States are just shaking their head and they're going, "How are you guys screwing this up? This is you're the best country and society in the world, and you guys are killing each other." And we got to get back to working together.
And if you look at the refugee-immigrant population, you see things there that I think we all crave, which are family-centered nature of these groups, which is huge. And they don't want to be mired in identity politics. It's us that have been here for a while. We're the ones making this problem that never existed. But if you talk to people that want to be part of the society, the last thing they want to do is to be branded. They want to be part of the society.
Very true. Very true. And it's encouraging to see, and hopefully the correction will be coming soon, and we'll get back to the things that made us successful.
Exactly. I mean, there's so many more important things to discuss than what we see in the press every day, which is one of the reasons why we continue to do the show, so that we can have people like you on the show, Tom, that can tell us what's really going on in our community. And before we get too close to the finish here, if people want to find out what you said the other day to the business community and to your investors, where would they
go? Just go to our website. It's very user-friendly. We made a major investment in it, and you don't have to be a site selector or a business person. It has a lot of links and to a lot of the things we talked about here. It's a www.buffaloniagara.org. And it's pretty easy to navigate, and you'll find a lot of the things we've been talking about explored there in detail.
Excellent, because I think our people that are listening, that are thoughtful listeners, and we do have many, and I want to thank everyone who occasionally will stop me and tell me that they listen to the show and comment about what my guests have said. I want to thank you for doing that, and I encourage you to do more of it. Let me know what your thoughts are. You can email me at peter.hunt@huntrealestate.com. Let me know what you think of this show or any show. And, of course, you can listen to this, and our podcast of this show will be on our website on Monday, and you can go there and listen to all the wisdom that Tom Kaczarski will be sharing with you. We've got about a minute left here, Tom. If you were to give us any bit of advice as a community, what would it be after your time here?
I think it would be to stay positive. You just see some of the things I'm looking at on the screen and some of the questions that come in. It's still, even though we've seen, we've demonstrated over the last 5-7 years that things are turning around and things can be different, we still tend to dwell on the, why didn't we do this? How come we can't do that? That kind of thing. The Patriots could have done that this year before winning the Super Bowl. Their defense was awful the first 5-6 games of the year. They figured it out, and they figured out a draw on their strength and improve their weaknesses, and they were successful. We should do the same thing.
You know, people love the intrigue of negative stuff and problems, and they say that sells, and that's what people want to watch on television. I'm not so sure that's 100% true. I think people want to also, particularly here in Western Europe, we want to feel and know how we can keep this good feeling going, because we're lucky to have it.
Yeah, and be honest about it. We're an honest community, and so let's face our challenges. Let's figure out ways to, make them positives.
Tom Kaczarski, President and CEO of Invest Buffalo Niagara. Thank you for being with us.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate it.
Thank all our listeners. Back again next week at the same time. And remember, when it comes to real estate, all of upstate is hunt country.